All right, we're back in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 18 through 21. You know, somebody just signaled to me that I forgot the offering. I tell you what, we're going to take the offering up after the sermon. I've been told that sometimes after you hear the word, you give more. I don't know if that's true or not, but we may find out. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 through 21. Title of the message this morning is Job and Love It. I'm gonna expect my ushers to remember that we need to do this before we leave this morning. Take this job and love it. Beginning in verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you recall, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, before we can really get into understanding how this applies to us today, I need to explain to you something about the then and there. You need to understand, and before I explain it to you, please stand, take your Bible. See, you all need to pray for me. I'm forgetful sometimes. Had you stand to read the text, but I didn't. I want you to take it. And again, we're not doing this just for something to do. I want you to begin to believe this and live it wholeheartedly. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. You know what? That's what Patricia was saying a while ago when she spoke to the young people. The world's going to tell you a lot of things that they claim you are, but you're not. You need to be consistent and understand what God's Word says you are, all right? I am who it says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. And my heart is receptive. And I will never be the same again. Never, 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 in Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. I want to explain something to you about slavery in the Roman Empire. You see, as Americans, when we hear the word slavery, most of the time, we go back to that period in our nation's history from the mid-1700s up through the 1860s, when many were brought over on slave ships from Africa and were forced into slavery where they were mistreated, abused, and beaten quite frequently. In the Roman Empire, that's not exactly the way slavery worked. Oftentimes, many people ended up in slavery due to indebtedness. I borrowed money from you, I bought something from you, I no longer had the means to make money enough to pay you back, so I would become your slave. And actually, the word that Peter uses in his letter and the word that Paul uses in his letters when he talks about slavery was a household servant. In all honesty, most of the slaves in the Roman Empire were treated as extended family members. Now, as some of us can relate to, just because they're family doesn't always make them nice. Am I right? Okay. So many in the Roman Empire, they were brought into slavery due to indebtedness. Or they were made slaves because they have a lack of property ownership. They didn't have enough money to own property. And if you didn't own property, you really had trouble trying to get a job or make a living or participate in society. So you would become a slave to someone who was wealthier and you would be under their protection and in their household. Others voluntarily decided to become someone's slave. They would go to a wealthier person and say, look, I'm not getting along very well economically. Turn this down slightly, son. I'm not getting along economically very well. Let me become a household servant to you, and I will earn a wage working for you, living in your house, and thereby I can sock away some money because you're going to take care of me as I work for you. And usually these people, it was not a lifelong situation. In fact, many of them would save up money and eventually they could purchase their freedom and go out and buy property and or begin their own business. So understand, that's the kind of slavery that Peter is addressing here. Now, I want to point this out. Peter nor Paul in their writings ever condoned slavery. They were not in favor of it. But neither did they feel it was their place at that point in time to try to stand up against slavery. They knew their task and job was to introduce Jesus Christ to as many people as possible and then allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the masters and those who own the slaves and let them make the decision that they needed to be kinder to their slaves and treat them better. Can I tell you that sometimes I think the church today gets too wrapped up in wanting to interject our opinions into the political process rather than trying to get Jesus Christ into the people we're dealing with. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You may not agree with me. That's fine. I always give other people the right to be wrong. You're supposed to laugh at that one, folks. So let's talk about what Peter says here. First of all, Peter says that we are to submit. Now, I told you we're entering a passage of his letter where submission is one of the key phrases. And to submit means to yield to a superior or to one in authority. To yield to a superior or to one in authority. It actually goes back a bit to that word humility that we talked about and humbling oneself. Most of us, if we'd be honest about it, most of us want to be the boss, don't we? Now, be honest. Most of us want to be the boss. We want to be the one in charge. We really don't want someone else telling us what to do. But how many of you know that if all we had were bosses, nothing would get done for sure? Am I right? I mean, Doug, imagine if you guys showed up on a big project out here and there's your dad and there's you and there's your brother and how many other guys are working for you right now? Four or five others. Imagine then that eight or nine of you showed up and you all stood there looking at that trench where that pipe needed to be laid and you all stood around there going, well, we're all bosses. How much work would get done? Not much. Somebody's got to submit and yield to those in authority and jump down in that trench and start laying pipe, right? Okay. So submitting, yielding to a superior or to one in authority. Another key word he uses here, we're going to tie it all together, is respect. Respect means to have high regard or esteem. High regard or esteem. Now I'm going to tell you something about respect that I've discovered in life. You can demand respect, or you can command respect. How many of you know which one's better? It's always better to command respect. Why? Demand means that I look at you and I say, you're going to respect me whether you want to or not. That's harsh, isn't it? Commanding respect means that I'm going to treat you properly, I will treat you with respect so you in turn will respect me. I will treat you with high regard. I will treat you with esteem so that in turn you will treat me the same way. I will tell you right now, one of the things that's so lacking in our world today is mutual respect for people. I've met pastors that showed very little respect to their congregation, and then they wonder why the congregation didn't respond to them in a proper way. I've seen teachers disrespect students and wonder why the students act up. I've seen parents disrespect their children and wonder why their children behave like brats.
Amen.
I've seen children disrespect their parents and then wonder why their parents go ballistic on them. I've seen husbands disrespect their wives and wonder why their wives didn't show them love. I've seen wives disrespect their husbands and then wonder why their husbands don't treat them like a loving wife should be treated. Do you understand? Respect is so key. I'm going to toss this one out there for you. I don't think you can call yourself a Christian and not treat people with respect.
Amen.
Next thing we see, he talks about masters. Now, right here is where some of us get lost on this one. We say, I'm not a slave. I don't have a master. This must not be for me today. But in today's world, I want you to take the word master and I want you to equate it to bosses, teachers, parents, or those who lead a group or organization you're a part of. Okay? So when you see in the New Testament, when Peter or Paul, either one, talk about masters, I want you just to relate it to your boss, your teacher, your parent, your spouse. You say, wait a minute, you just said that my spouse is not my boss. No, but relate it to those that you deal with. And you added pastors. Thank you. I wasn't going to put that up there. Peter mentions two kinds of masters. Those who are good and considerate, and those who are harsh. How many of you ever had a really good and considerate boss? Man, I have one of the best. He's passed away. He passed away a few years ago from Alzheimer's. He was basically the same age as my dad. He was my boss when I was in college, worked at a little shoe store in downtown Albuquerque. Best boss I ever had. Oh, my goodness. Every Thanksgiving, Betty, he'd say, ask your mom or grandma how big a turkey you all need. And he'd buy the turkey for my whole family. He had season tickets to the Lobo basketball games, and I loved to go watch Lobo basketball. And so every once in a while, he'd say, I'm not going to make it tonight. Call your brother or somebody up here. Here's my tickets. Go to the game. I had to work a lot of Saturdays when I worked there when I was in school. He'd say, why don't you run up early tomorrow and breakfast is on me. We'd get real busy around lunchtime, and lunchtime would slide by, and we didn't get a chance to run down to one of the restaurants. He'd say, grab a 20 out of the cash register and run up here to Pizza Hut and get us some pizza. He was a great boss. Then I had those harsh bosses. I won't name the man. I worked for a man. He owned the whole company. He'd inherited the company from his daddy. And when I first started working there, he was one of those harsh types. Walked down the hall, and I'd look at him, and I'd call him by name. I'd say, good morning. I'd call him by name, and he'd Can I tell you, when I left that company 7 years later, because I was consistent to respect him in spite of his harshness, we'd walk down the hall, come meet in the hall, and when I got ready to leave there, I didn't have to initiate the good morning and call him by name. He would initiate it by, good morning, Randall, how are you this morning? How are things going? Why? Because even though he had been a harsh master, if you will, at first, my respect that I showed to him softened him. Peter says, if you have a master who is over you, fill in whatever category you want, whether they are good and considerate or whether they be harsh, your job is to show them all respect. Not a little respect, all respect. You're all awfully quiet this morning on that one. Let me just remind you that Peter's letter, the overarching theme of the entire letter, is how to suffer properly as a Christian. And sometimes when you've got a harsh boss, when you've got a harsh teacher, when you've got a harsh family member, when you've got a harsh group leader, some organization, it's not easy. But how many of you know that God does not always call us to do what's easy? He calls us to do what's right. And through Peter, he says, if you've got a master who's kind and considerate, show him respect. You have one that's harsh, show him respect. The next thing we find there, he says, for it is commendable, verse 19, for it is commendable if a person bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. Look at the word suffering. Hope you can read that. Suffering. Suffering is another way to say that you're being disrespected by somebody. He says slaves, servants, workers, students, family members, You might be disrespected. You might be suffering because of somebody. But he breaks it down. He says, are you suffering because of your godly stance and way of living? Good. Continue to show respect. How many of you know that if we take a stand for Christ, we're going to suffer? We're going to be disrespected. Not everybody's going to love us. Amen? Paul says, if you're suffering because of your stance for Christ, meaning you're doing the right thing, but you're still being disrespected, he says, good. Continue to show respect. He says, but if you're suffering because of your own wrongdoing or foolishness, what does Peter say about it? So what? You're getting what you deserved. You know, I've encountered people that, you know, somebody was just so mean to me. I got a spanking, I got swats, I got suspension, I lost my job, I got my pay docked. Well, what did you do? Well, I did something stupid and foolish and I broke the rules. Well, you got what you deserved. But if we suffer for what's mentioned in letter A on that screen because of our godly stance, look what Peter says. It is commendable. It is deserving of praise. Before who? God. I want you to let that sink in a minute. Let me see if I can explain it to you better. When you suffer because you took a godly stance and you hold up under it without complaining, it is praiseworthy and the praise comes from God. When you suffer for taking a stand for God and you don't whine and complain about it, your heavenly Father looks at you and says, well done, my child. Well done, my child. Well done. We're going to find out why Peter says this now. Let's go to the next one. Here's the part that kind of throws us off, I think. Verse 21. To this you were, a little louder, to this you were called. Now, Treva, I've said that God called me to ministry to be a pastor. Two thumbs up. That's a good thing to be called to. My wife was called to be a pastor's wife and a nurse. Two thumbs up. That's a good thing. All of you, you've got things you've done in life that you feel like God's called you to do. And you're like, yeah, that's great. We don't like it, though, whenever all of a sudden someone like Peter comes along and says, all of this suffering at the hands of a harsh master, you are also called to this. Mm-hmm. We almost want to say, Peter. Peter, what you been smoking, man? That's crazy. What do you mean I was called to suffer at the hands of a harsh master? Most of us, we get a boss we don't like, we start looking for another job. We have a spouse that's harsh and we don't like them, we start looking for the divorce lawyer. Oh, many do. Divorce. Can I tell you, there's a statistic, and it's slightly skewed, but it's fairly accurate. This is what's sad. In the last 50 years, divorce is as prevalent in the church as it is outside the church. We have a teacher at school that's a little harsh and we don't like. We run home and start whining to mom and daddy. I don't like that teacher. They're mean to me. Get me in another class. Come on, parents. Back me up there. We've all heard it a time or two. Or maybe when we were students, we were guilty of it. I tell you what, some of you don't know what a weird teacher is at all. My fourth grade teacher, I'll not name her. This is the way she introduced herself to my mom and dad the first day of school. How many remember that when they're little in elementary school? You take them in the first day. Betty, come here a minute. I'm going to be the teacher and you're going to be... This is how she introduced herself to my mom and dad. You ready? My mom and dad walked in and they said, hello. And she says, hi, I'm Mrs. So-and-so. Oh, that instills confidence in you, doesn't it? That's how she introduced herself to all the parents. Hi, I'm Mrs. So-and-so. I'm the mean teacher. And then she had this poster of an eyeball on the wall. And she'd always look at us too. She'd go, I'm stepping out. We were in a portable building. I'm stepping out a minute, and I'm keeping my eye on you. And then there was two or three times she got upset about something. She grabbed and pulled her hair and stomped her feet and screamed. But Tommy, what really surprised me is one day the principal came into class and she told him that she'd done that. And he just looked at her like, oh my goodness, woman. But you know what? My mom and dad didn't run to the office and say, get my child out of there. They said, you just make the best of it and you'll be okay. You know, a lot of times we get in circumstances with harsh people that are over us and we want to look for a way of escape. Can I tell you, I believe as children of God, instead we need to begin to pray for them and we need to say, God, what is the lesson you want me to learn? I'm beginning to understand finally at almost 55 years of age that God brings us into a lot of circumstances that we don't like and that we don't understand. And he puts people in our life that are difficult to deal with, and it's to teach us a lesson. Amen. And the sooner you learn the lesson, the sooner you graduate.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Trying to remember, I saw program. Oh, it was an episode of MASH. Major Houlihan's celebrating a birthday and she's down in the dumps and she's there with Klinger and she says, you know, being a military kid, my dad was a military officer, she says, we moved all the time. She says, I never even attended the same school 2 years in a row. And Klinger says, that's funny. He says, I attended the same grade 2 years in a row. Apparently, Klinger didn't learn his lessons to move on. Some of us are going through the same circumstances, dealing with the same harsh people because we don't learn the lesson. Lord, you think I'm preaching in tongues this morning. To this you were called. Why? But to what end? He says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you and was an example, and we are to follow in his footsteps. Friends, let me tell you something. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us.
Amen.
To this you were called, but to what end? We go all the way back to a verse we looked at a few weeks ago, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify God on the day he visits us. I want to close with this. Glorifying God is often the first step in a person coming to Jesus Christ and accepting his free gift of salvation. Therefore, your commendable suffering. Now again, not if you're suffering because you did wrong. If you did wrong and you're suffering, just take your punishment and deal with it. But it could be that your commendable suffering at the hands of a harsh master just might be the way God ordains for you to witness to them about him.
Amen.
They might just be pushing you because every Christian they've ever encountered turned out to be phony baloney. And they don't like Christians. And you keep telling them that you're a Christian, they're going to push you sometimes to just see how far can I push them before they stop acting like a Christian. And if you will endure the suffering for the cause of Christ, you might be surprised when one day they suddenly come to you and they say, I need to talk to you. I've pushed and I've treated you bad and I've treated you wrong, and yet you've done nothing but respect me. Why? How could you do that? What made it possible for you to keep respecting me when I mistreated you? And that's the door thrown wide open. You say, let me tell you about my real master. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he loves you as much as he loves me. And he died on the cross for you just like he died for me. And he wants to forgive you of all the sin and all the crud in your life like he forgave me. And he wants to fill your heart with the same love that he's filled my heart. So friend, whatever the task may be, you need to take this job and love it. Because where you're at is where God has placed you to share him with others. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to do two things right now. I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to pray. But before you leave your seats, as we pray this prayer, I'm going to ask all my ushers to come in a moment. Get the plates, get the cups, receive the tithe and offering. And then I want you to walk out of here today determined that no matter who mistreats you, if you're still doing the right thing, you're going to endure it for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen? Would you stand with me? Ushers, if you'll make your way up here and just wait till we finish with the prayer, then you can receive the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, this morning, I would ask you right now, Lord, that you would help us to take a proper stance and to serve you faithfully. And if we suffer for it, help us to not become disrespectful to the ones mistreating us. Lord, I know you don't want us to lay down and be doormats, but neither should we retaliate in a way that is not Christ-like. Help us to be respectful even when we confront. Help us to be respectful even when we have to let somebody know that they are in the wrong, Lord. Always let it be with a Christ-like attitude. Whether it be in the job, in the school, at home, wherever it may be, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be with us to guide and direct us and give us the words to say so that we may share your love with those around us no matter how they treat us. We ask this. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Wait for the ushers and then you're...